Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in great confidence and with immense elation to congratulate and lend unswerving support to the budget presentation purposefully articulated by the Honorable Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, this budget clearly points to a process of consolidation of the benefits and opportunities created by the government and the administration of the St. Lucia Labour Party over the last 4 years. Moreover, Mr. Speaker, this budget is molded and responsibly designed to capture, cushion, and adequately cater for all the needs of the segments of the society, from the unborn to the elderly, with significant emphasis on universal secondary education to universal health care. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Minister of Finance, along with his ministers, have creatively balanced continuous development on the major fronts of social, economic, and human development, reduction of poverty and unemployment, improvement of water supply and delivery of health services, promotion of good environmental management practices, and the empowerment of disadvantaged groups and households without compromising the requisite growth and continued transformation of the economy. Mr. Speaker, today we are embarking on a new chapter in our country's history, a history that began in 1997. It is a follow-up chapter to this history that has us here today. Mr. Speaker, as our country continues to navigate forward, there is no turning back to the days when our houses were lit by the kerosene lamp and the streets by the better pay. We are continuing in the path of progress with a very able captain at the helm, who will continue to guide our economy in the right direction, so that every St. Lucian, no matter where they live on the island, will benefit from the fruits of sound economic management. Mr. Speaker, this budget is about our country's future, not the nostalgic past. It is about the many opportunities highlighted by the Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, the budget presentation was brilliant, but I thought there would have been an allocation made for the construction of a home to house the enemies of progress. You know who they are, Mr. Speaker. They are those that are against St. Lucia and St. Lucia moving forward. We should have a house to house those people, Mr. Speaker. We will have to extend for the day, Mr. Speaker, for those people who are against progress. Mr. Speaker, when the history book is finally written, do you know what it will say? It will say that it took Gorbachev to bring an end to communism in the former USSR. It will say, it took Mandela to rid South Africa of apartheid. And on the section entitled St. Lucia, it will say, Mr. Speaker, it took the Labour Party under the able leadership of Dr. Kenny Anthony to rid St. Lucia of inequality. Mr. Speaker, today I speak with a great degree of humility, civility, and most of all, with joy in my heart. I speak as a servant of the people of Ansari Canaries and as a St. Lucian foot soldier defending the interests and well-being of all St. Lucians. Mr. Speaker, my political calling is not about me, Cyprian Lansico, but about every man, child, woman, who call Ansari Canaries home. It is about the man who lives in the hilltop of Kekshime, to the woman who lives in Mount Sizo, the child who lives in Ansari, and the grandfather who lives in Canaries. This is the cause I am defending, and this is my calling. Mr. Speaker, permit me to thank the people of my constituency of Ansari Canaries and the Labour Party for giving me such an opportunity to contribute in my country's further development. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is the season when you will hear all kinds of negativity from the elites trying to find ways to crucify this government on its progress in helping the average St. Lucian emancipate themselves from poverty and into economic empowerment. Permit me, Mr. Speaker, to pose them a question. Are we better off today than we were in 1997? Thank you, Minister. Mr. Speaker, in the days, weeks, and months to follow these budget presentations, you will have all kinds of accusations leveled against this government and the party I am part of. Let me say to them, the detractors, the enemies of progress, that this government is about the many, not the few. It is providing health care for the many, not the few. It is providing education for the many, not the few. It is providing employment opportunities for many, not only for the few, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this budget is about the future of St. Lucia, not the past. There are those who believe that we are still in the 1980s. That is why when you mention internet, they answer by saying that there are not more fishnets on the island. When you tell them about the website, they say the house was clean just this morning. There are no more spider webs in the bedroom. Mr. Speaker, how can these people who are so caught up in the past have no clue of the future and the new economy prepare for tomorrow? They too want to take us back to the dark ages. The days of political victimization, the days of two St. Lucia, on the one hand, the heart, and the other, the heart not. These days are gone, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, tell them, until I have breath in me, this is not going to happen. This government, nor the Labour Party, will not allow this to happen. And most of all, I know the people of St. Lucia will not let this happen. No way, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, recently at a political meeting of the opposition party, the United Workers Party, after a certain man spoke, a certain man was past 80, after he spoke, there was a heckler, there was a heckler among, and the heckler says, God did this shit. I'm not fooling the computer to run the same shit, I'm not fooling the computer. He's a pastor, 80 years. Every heckler got to be saved, I'm going to fuck the computer. Mr. Speaker, I heard the leader of the opposition making statements on the budget. And I was wondering, what planet is this gentleman living on? And Mr. Speaker, this budget is about your average man. The man who lives in the Rose Valley, it is about bread and butter. For instance, Mr. Speaker, construction workers will soon be getting a minimum wage of $55 per day. Mr. Speaker, isn't that part of progress? Isn't that improving the standard of living of your average man? Mr. Leader of the Opposition, I beg you to tell me and the people of St. Lucia what is progress to you. Mr. Speaker, this train should not be allowed to be derailed by the enemies of progress. For the sake of our children and grandchildren, we cannot and we will not let this happen. Mr. Speaker, in this context, I will seek to address the issues related to agriculture, forestry and fisheries sectors, with emphasis on forestry and fisheries. The Honourable Minister of Agriculture will articulate the issues related to the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries in a holistic and global context. Mr. Speaker, the government is convinced that the agricultural, forestry and fisheries sectors will continue to play a significant and pivotal role in the sustainable socio-economic development and environmental management of our island states. We are mindful and recognize that to optimize the benefits that can be derived, these sectors must of necessity undergo processes of transformation and realignment in order to remain relevant, given the continuous changes taking place in the global, regional and national trading environment. In this regard, Mr. Speaker, the response mechanisms must embrace the new approaches cemented on the concept of partnership, building at the various levels of engagement, given the existing environment of the dwindling traditional donor aid assistance, increasing competitiveness and trade liberalization. Notwithstanding these challenges, Mr. Speaker, it is critical that the necessary ecological adjustments be made to accommodate the policy and strategic structural changes in the agricultural sector. From a strategic standpoint, the murmurings have been silenced as the Ministry pursues the process of policy realignment on the basis of the broad principle of sustainable use and management of our natural resources. A draft policy and strategic plan of action have been endorsed by the Cabinet of Ministers for open public discussions and scrutiny. This exercise will be undertaken very shortly. Mr. Speaker, I shall now proceed to provide the Honourable House and the people of St. Lucia an overview of the performance of the forestry and fishery sector for the year 2006 and 2005-2006 and an indication of the major activities planned for 2006 and 2007. Mr. Speaker, the forestry department is primarily charged with the responsibility of managing the natural land-based resources of St. Lucia, especially the forest, soil and water resources, wild flora and fauna resources. The department's role and functions cannot be misunderstood, since the resources that it manages are vitally linked to almost every major sector of the economy. Mr. Speaker, the Forestry Department operates under the program area called Forest Resources Development. And the main objective of this program is to facilitate the provision of the socio-economic, cultural, spiritual and environmental needs of the populace through the provision of forest goods and services in a sustainable manner through the integrated management of soil, water and biological resources. To this end, Mr. Speaker, the Department recognizes the following. 1. The need to revisit and redesign the forestry management and development plan on a platform of sustainable management which encapsulates the improvement of forestry and related biodiversity information systems. The multiple functions and uses of forest-generated goods and services, including non-timber and non-extractive uses. For example, the nature trails and other ecotourism exploits and the production of cut flowers, that is moby and latine products. The second Minister Speaker is the need to develop, promote and manage sustainable stewardship and uses of forests and other environmental resources to maintain the integrity and productive capacity of the natural resource base, particularly through community-based and private sector land engagements and partnerships, such as the Superior Broome Forest Group of Manipur and the Shasin Red Forest Aerial Trust. 3. The development and implementation of sound conservation strategies related to the sustainable management and protection of the threatened biodiversity and related environmental resources. And 4. The development of an appropriate framework and related mechanisms that strengthen community and general stakeholder participation in sustainable land and water management strategies. Thus, Mr. Speaker, building consensus at both the local and the national levels, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, these issues were and continue to be pursued under the following programs of forest management, watershed management, nature conservation, wildlife management, and forest research. The department also conducted work under the capital project entitled Management of Biological Resources, which dealt with the implementation of an inventory of the island's land-based plant species and a preliminary assessment of their potential economic value. Mr. Speaker, other related initiatives included activities linked to the Global Forest Resources Assessment, the Convention on Wetlands, the United Nations Convention, and the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity. Mr. Speaker, the other notable routine activities and achievements included 1. The maintenance of 9.5 acres of Christmas trees established at the Union Nursery, Forestry, and also at Fondau. to the Christmas tree sales, which generated revenue of $20,495. Three, the maintenance of 4.5 acres of Assyrian lilies at Edmund Forest, which generated a revenue totaling $8,155. Four, with routine surveillance and patrol of all forest reserves. And five, boundary line maintenance of approximately 40% of the island's forest reserves. But Mr. Speaker, very significant development is that the aerial trap within the Chasseur Forest Reserve was officially opened in March 2006. As a result of this new forestry and touristic development, several new jobs were created, while thousands of persons were employed during the construction phase of this project. The Christmas tree plantation was also relocated to Forest Fair and Union, Mr. Speaker, in order to facilitate this the project. In the area of watershed management, Mr. Speaker, the department continues to collaborate with other public sector agencies and community-based groups on several initiatives, such as the Integrated Watershed and Coastal Areas Management Program, which is a regional program funded by the Global Environment Fund, GES, and coordinated by the United Nations Environmental Program, UNEP, and the Caribbean Environmental Health Institute, CEHI, and the Fund of Watershed, which will serve as St. Lucia's pilot watershed. Two, works within a sub-watershed at Frontignac Sucre, which is part of an OECS, an ESDU, and the SMMA initiative funded by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of the United States government, with a specific objective of examining the impact of conservation works in the upper watershed on the coral reefs in Sucre. To date, work has begun on improving the main access, and tree crops have been distributed in the majority of farmers in the targeted areas, Mr. Speaker. Three, collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and International Institute of Tropical Forestry on a project to map land cover and forest types for St. Lucia. Two staff members have received training in advanced map making in preparation for the final validation phase. And four, Mr. Speaker, works on the program to expand the forest reserves for the purposes of soil, water life conservation continues, which at present is targeting approximately 1,600 acres, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, we are in the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We are very proud of this achievement because, Mr. Speaker, when we speak about forestry, we speak about our future. We speak about our future, Mr. Speaker. We speak about conservation of our resources, especially our forest resources and our wildlife resources, Mr. Speaker, because without water, without forest, there is no water. Without a forest, there is no water. Without a forest, Mr. Speaker, there is no soil. Without forest, what happens is degradation of land, Mr. Speaker. So that's the reason why I speak about the four essences, because it's a very important and very integral component of our work plan, Mr. Speaker. A lot of people are Pilmon, let me talk about forestry, you can just catch it for it, you can just catch it about Tierbois, about Vitation, et ça c'est vous allez faire là, c'est bien, dépasser tout ce hasard là. The people don't understand, Mr. Speaker, and we want people to understand the value of our forests and the need for us to conserve our natural resources. Mr. Speaker, the Forestry Department mapping unit continues to strengthen its capacity to provide state-of-the-art services to the wider Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. The unit has assisted the research division of the Department of Agriculture by developing maps outlining the distribution of coconut trees and plantations on the island, intended to assist field work under the coconut leaf mite project. Similar work was effected producing banana fields distribution maps for the Biru project. Mr. Speaker, under the nature conservation, the department has managed a total of 12,000 visitors who visited the forest nature trails for the period 2005-2006, Mr. Speaker. Again, Mr. Speaker, we see how our forest resources, our nature trails, are attracting tourists and has been a source of revenue for us, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the forest trail revenue collection amounted to $213,625. There were five familiarization tours with local tour companies, and five, there was a collaborative work with the Ministry of Social Transformation to develop the capacity of our tour guides in consideration of co-management agreements with the Forestry Development Committee. And Mr. Speaker, a study to determine the best management option for the forest nature trail is still being explored. This exercise will be completed by the second quarter of this financial year. Mr. Speaker, in the area of environmental education, what we have done, Mr. Speaker, in the last financial year is that we 830 students visited the Union Nature Center, and well over 80% comprised preschool and primary school students. So, Mr. Speaker, we organized and planned those visits for about 830 students, right, from preschool and primary school students. So what we do, Mr. Speaker, we are being proactive. We are providing that kind of training from a very young and tender age. 1,450 students from 13 schools were lectured on iguana conservation, watershed management, and bird and reptiles of St. Lucia. 2 summer camps were organized, and a total of 60 children and 10 adults participated in that activity, Mr. Speaker. And fourthly, activities to commemorate major national and international events and conventions were undertaken, such as World Food Day, National Cleanup Day, World Wetland Day, and also World Desertification Day. Mr. Speaker, the main activities undertaken within the wildlife management program included 1. Management of the Union Zoo. 2. The Whiptail Research Program, which involved in part a rat eradication exercise on both rats and then the islands. 3. Zurel Wildlife Conservation Trust and its team of specialists facilitated various research activities on both Maria Major and Minor Islands. 4. St. Lucia Iguana Research Program, which entailed also a mongoose monitoring and culling program and the monitoring of female nesting iguanas. 5. The St. Lucia Amazona Program. And 6. The St. Lucia White-Breasted Slasher Monitoring Program. Mr. Speaker, that's a new monitoring initiative has been developed and is being facilitated through continued collaboration and understanding between the forestry department, the Tural Wildlife Conservation Trust, and the DCG developers of the Le Paradis Hotel and Golf Course. This program seeks to conserve the northern and southern populations of the endangered white-breasted thrasher. But Mr. Speaker, what is the outlook for the future? The outlook for the coming year, 2006 and 2007. Mr. Speaker, the Forestry Department will continue to focus on the following key areas and major activities during the financial year 2006 and 2007. 1. The development of the new forest sector management plan. 2. The revision of the regulatory functions of the department. 3. The department will bring to closure the study on the management of the forest nature trails. 4. The development of a framework to improve the management of wildfires in St. Lucia. And that is very important, Mr. Speaker. Bushfires, especially when we're in the dry season. You know, people go about dropping cigarette butts all over the place and doing all kinds of indiscriminatory practices, and that gives us quite a lot of problems, Mr. Speaker, with bushfires. So therefore, we have to take definite steps towards alleviating that problem, Mr. Speaker. 5, Mr. Speaker, identification of critical private forests and forested cronelands for the expansion of forest reserves and protection of sensitive and threatened ecosystems and water resources of the country. 6. The provision of technical support and guidance to community groups involved in the management of the natural resources of the country. 7. Conduct research on latilia production and broom making. Research work in collaboration with Barren Foods and the Mauvi species with focus on sustainable harvesting methods in support of alternative rural livelihoods. 7. The initiation of a project with focus on the development of sustainable land management strategies. 8. The department will continue its role as a focal agency for international conventions on behalf of the government of St. Lucia, ensuring that the agreed principles and operating guidelines are applied and adhered to in the use and management of critical ecosystems and their associated resources. And finally, Mr. Speaker, the department will sustain its collaborative work with other public and private stakeholders in the implementation of natural resources management initiatives. So, Mr. Speaker, That's it for us for the forestry department. And now we will now turn attention to the fisheries department, another very vital and important sector in our economy. Mr. Speaker, with the capable leadership of the Honourable Minister for Agriculture, Forestries and Fisheries, and the willing and capable professional and technical support of the management and staff of the Ministry, and the inevitable linkages and relationships with our farming and rural communities, along with our other stakeholders, I'm confident that we will perform and achieve the set objectives and targets of the fisheries department. Mr. Speaker, the statistics show us that we have had significant increases in our fish landings, Mr. Speaker. For example, for our marine fish landings, for flying fish, Mr. Speaker, increased significantly, Mr. Speaker, by up to 86.34%, Mr. Speaker. Although, Mr. Speaker, also we recorded increases in lobster, in conch, and in tuna, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, however, there were slight decreases in dolphin, in wahoo, and also there are slight decreases in dolphin and wahoo, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, one of the main factors contributing to the increase in fish landings, especially during the high season, Mr. Speaker, was due to the continued use and promotion of improved fishing techniques, Mr. Speaker, and appropriate technology such as the fish aggregate devices, the FAD, Mr. Speaker. Increasingly, Mr. Speaker, fishers, cooperatives, and fishers island-wide are appreciating the impact and value of the FAD as a means of generating higher catches with lower operational costs. Mr. Speaker, the Fisheries Department will continue its collaborative work with the cooperatives in this regard, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, other notable achievements in the fishery sector were as follows. Mr. Speaker, EFADs were established and the fishermen and fisherwomen were trained in the construction, monitoring and maintenance of the FADs, Mr. Speaker. That is very significant, Mr. Speaker, because the FADs now are the technique or the equipment that the fishermen use to help them to increase on the fish sticks. Mr. Speaker, 15 fishers in Sufre were trained in gear adoption and technology transfer in diamond back screen experimental fishing, Mr. Speaker. And also, Mr. Speaker, 30 persons were trained in Sodel in small engine repair, in navigation, in fish handling, and also in fish processing, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the area of our extension services, training in safety at sea continued throughout the year, Mr. Speaker, and surveillance and enforcement initiatives received funding under our capital budget, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, much of the equipment required for this training program has been sourced. And, Mr. Speaker, as I alluded to, there were eight new flags have been deployed and are being maintained. And fish catches off the flags continue to be very, very promising, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, our department continue to work with the Japanese government to provide our fishers with modern fishing facilities, Mr. Speaker. And we also continue working with JICA and also the Caribbean Fisheries Training Institute of Trinidad and Tobago to provide special training, to our fishers, especially the youth, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, we have provided modern fishing facilities all throughout the island except the West Coast, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, I'm proud to report that these facilities have provided fishers with a much improved physical work environment, as well as the consuming public with more acceptable sanitary conditions within which it can conduct its business. But however, Mr. Speaker, one major concern is the reluctance and unwillingness of some facility users to contribute to the general upkeep and maintenance of the new infrastructure, Mr. Speaker. And that is a very, very serious problem, Mr. Speaker. But, Mr. Speaker, plans are well on the way to address our fishing needs in the West Coast, in Ansari and in Canaries, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the fishing communities of the West Coast, Ansari and Canaries, will be elated, Mr. Speaker, to know that plans are well on the way. Plans are afoot to significantly improve the land-based and coastal infrastructure with the construction of a new complex and ancillary structures to support the unique thriving tourism-based village activities in those villages, Mr. Speaker. And I will return to this later when I come to my constituency analysis, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the area of aquaculture, we recognize the fact that aquaculture is a very promising area, Mr. Speaker, in terms of providing job opportunities, especially for our rural folks, especially the women, Mr. Speaker. There is a very good opportunity in the area of aquaculture. And also, Mr. Speaker, to augment our fish resources, Mr. Speaker. Because nowadays, Mr. Speaker, the fish diet is a most favorite diet, Mr. Speaker, especially for our fish fry activities that are now taking place almost all around the island, and Ansari being the fish setter, and then followed by Denry, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, in the area of aquaculture, Mr. Speaker, aquaculture continues to receive particular attention as we seek to promote the integration of this subsector within the general scope of agricultural diversification. Particularly where linkages are financially and technically feasible with crop-based agriculture to help reduce production costs, environmental degradation, and enhanced farm productivity. Notably, Mr. Speaker, the assistance of agencies such as the FAO is being solicited to further promote the strategic aspects of agriculture as they relate to food security. The strengthening of agribusiness in our schools and rural communities. In addition, Mr. Speaker, it serves as a strategic intervention to reduce pressures on our traditional fisheries and marine species. Mr. Speaker, improved facilities such as hatcheries will be established within a new agricultural station to be established at Roseau during the period, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, safety at sea. Safety at sea, Mr. Speaker, is another program, Mr. Speaker, that is very, very dear to our heart, Mr. Speaker. Question of safety at sea. Mr. Speaker, the issue of safety at sea continues to be an issue of major concern to the Ministry and the government. The Department of Fisheries records indicate that the number of persons considered to be lost at sea continues to increase despite the sustained efforts of the Safety at Sea program and the legal requirement for all vessels to carry a range of safety gear, Mr. Speaker. Such gear, Mr. Speaker, can be procured at subsidized costs. The more frustrating aspect is that many do not possess the relevant gear. Many do possess, Mr. Speaker, the relevant gear, yet they fail to use them, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, there is nothing that brings more distress, more hurt, more anguish, Mr. Speaker, than the heart of this government and the heart of the families and friends of those persons, Mr. Speaker, who lose their lives at sea, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, that's the reason why I say this program is very dear to our heart, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, because this government is spending quite a lot of money, Mr. Speaker, to ensure that our farmers are properly trained and have the safety gear, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, search and rescue costs are very exorbitant. It causes government quite a lot, Mr. Speaker, ranging from $400 an hour for a vessel deployment to $2,400 per hour for the use of an aircraft, Mr. Speaker. It costs a lot, Mr. Speaker. Moreover, Mr. Speaker, there is an incalculable social cost to the loved ones, friends, community, and families, Mr. Speaker. In this respect, Mr. Speaker, the department, along with the Marine Police Division, have set up vigilance and enforcement of these safety regulations, Mr. Speaker. And even more recently, Mr. Speaker, a number of vessel owners and captains have been charged under the Fisheries Act No. 10 of 1984.
Honourable Member for Amsterdam Canaries, you have 15 minutes more to make your contribution.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, Mr. Speaker. What is the way forward, Mr. Speaker, for our fisheries sector? Mr. Speaker, recognizing the ever-changing local and global environment, the department recently concluded the second of the three-phase strategic planning process, engaging the main stakeholders of the sector. Outputs from this initiative will feed, Mr. Speaker, into the final phase, which will involve the development of a strategic plan of action for the next 5 to 10 years, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, at a wider regional level, with the advent of the CSME, St. Lucia is deeply engaged in the process to develop a regionalized approach to fisheries management, generally referred to as the proposed common fisheries policy and regime, Mr. Speaker. Notwithstanding, Mr. Speaker, a regionalized approach, it is absolutely necessary that a more business-like attitude be adopted by our officials and related stakeholders. If they have the full advantage of the opportunities that exist, such as this has become very important and significant, such as the Cricket World Cup 2007, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, presently we are far from satisfying the rapidly increasing domestic demand, Mr. Speaker. Now, Mr. Speaker, I will now turn to my dearly beloved constituency, the constituency of Ansari Canaries, the constituency that will ensure that I will win again in the next public general election, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, at this juncture, Mr. Speaker, please permit me to address my constituents, my dearly beloved people of Ansari, Asabedi, Canaries, Belvedere, Roseau, Jacmel, Boaden, Monsizo, Mondo, Zerato, Kaiko, Venus, and Techime, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, permit me to use this occasion to thank my people once again for their demonstrated confidence in me as their representative, and I want to renew my promise to continue serving them to the best of my ability, so help me God. Mr. Speaker, and I stand here today not as Cyprian Lantico, but as a messenger of our mouthpiece for the people of my constituency. So, Mr. Speaker, I speak not according to my personal wishes or selfish ambitions, but according to the will and the needs of the people of Ansari and Canaries. That's where they belong and that's where they have to stay, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to report today that my development agenda to address the economic, social and physical needs throughout the various communities in Ansari Canaries is well on target. Our achievements today represent a significant milestone in our struggle for bread, freedom and justice. Mr. Speaker, we stand steadfast with the determination not to return to the pre-1997 era when we were doomed to eat Gwen Babu in Ansari, or when Canaries was being constantly referred to as the Siberia of St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, they are here and they remember vividly. We are all here, Mr. Speaker, especially at the back. They are all the men at the back. We remember vividly, Mr. Speaker, when the then and present leader of the EWP made those statements at a motorcade in Ansari and also in Canaries, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, these powers of doom and gloom, Mr. Speaker, these political dinosaurs, they will never be forgiven. They will never be forgiven. If people of Ansari will never forgive them, never forgive them for telling them that they must eat one babu. All the people of Canaries for referring to them as Siberia of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. We will never forget, Mr. Speaker. We will never forget. My comrade Pokash Mizis, remember. He remembers because in those days he was very, very deeply involved in the political struggle, Mr. Speaker. So he remembers, Mr. Speaker. People of Ansari and Canaries will never forget. And they will never forgive those political dinosaurs. Mr. Mr. Speaker, the objectives of my development plan were categorized in the short term, medium term, and long term goals to be achieved within a period of 15 years and beyond.
Honourable Member for Ansari Kanwis, you have 5 minutes left to make your contribution.
Speaker, I beg to move on to Standing Order 3210 for the Honourable Member for Ansari Kanwis to be awarded another half an hour within which to complete his contribution to this debate.
Honourable Members, the motion before us now is that Standing Order 3210 be suspended so that the Honourable Member for Ansari Kanwis can be given an extra half an hour to conclude his contribution. I now put a question. Has anyone have that opinion? No? Honourable Member, leave it granted.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member for Brazilia. Thank you, Honourable Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Honourable Members. Mr. Speaker, it is now 9 years since we embarked on this journey, and I am happy to report that most, if not all, my short-term to medium-term objectives have been achieved. Allow me, Mr. Speaker, to provide some insight. Mr. Speaker, my short to medium-term objectives sought to address those matters immediately in need. They are the basic necessities for human survival. Mr. Speaker, I am proud to report that electricity is now available to almost every household at an affordable rate, even to the poorest of the poor. We may recall, Mr. Speaker, when applications for connection were kept back for long periods or even denied because people could not afford to pay as much as $3,000 per pole. These were part of the dark ages, Mr. Speaker. Well, those dark ages are long gone, but not forgotten, Mr. Speaker. They are long gone, but they are not forgotten, Mr. Speaker. 8 years ago, Mr. Speaker. Right? And Mr. Speaker, we will never forget those days. Because those people who tried to keep us back in darkness, they are the ones who are trying to come back to bring us back into the dark ages, Mr. Speaker. But no way, Mr. Speaker, will return. We will not return, Mr. Speaker, under dynamic and able leadership the able and dynamic leadership of our honorable Prime Minister. I would like to refer to him as Moses. No other remark, Mr. Speaker. No other remark. No other remark, Mr. Alba. Mr. Speaker, we all know very well that water is life, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, many residents were deprived of this essential commodity prior to 1997, Mr. Speaker. Many of the communities were deprived of this commodity prior to 1997. Mr. Speaker, Tetchimen, Mr. Speaker, in millet is an example with an approximate 150 households. 150 households, Mr. Speaker, Tetchimen received potable water for the first time, Mr. Speaker, when this government came into power, Mr. Speaker. For the first time, Tetchimen. Yeah, that's why they have their big houses, Mr. Speaker. That's why they have their farming and everything, Mr. Speaker. That's why they should be very thankful to this government, Mr. Speaker. Because without this government, they would not be able to do anything where they live now, Mr. Speaker. Also, Mr. Speaker, in Belvedere, just after we passed Canaries, Committee after Canaries, in Belvedere, a new 50-gallon water tank was erected at the higher elevation, Mr. Speaker. Yes, 50,000 current ton. That is the correction. Thanks for the correction. 50,000 gallon ton was erected at the higher elevation, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this was necessary to supply the people who live at Upper Belvedere with an approximately 100 households. And also, Mr. Speaker, this also ensures a more consistent supply of water to the entire Belvedere community. Mr. Speaker, we are now in the process of upgrading the water system in Astra Valley. This project, Mr. Speaker, includes one, the installation of a 10,000 gallon tank, which will serve two purposes. One, for storage, and two, as a settling tank for administration of chlorine. And two, Mr. Speaker, for treated water storage, Mr. Speaker. So two tanks will be installed. One for chlorination, and the other one, the second one, will be for the storage of treated water. Mr. Speaker, the installation of two new 10,000 gallon storage tanks will replace the existing one, which is leaking and badly corroded beyond repair. Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, what is happening is that we're going to provide a 3-day storage. So the pump will only have to work once every 3 days. What is happening now, Mr. Speaker, is the pump must work every day. And if the pump happens to get defective, then the community will remain without water. But this problem, Mr. Speaker, will come to an end with this project, Mr. Speaker, where there will be an additional tank to provide storage of 10,000 gallons. The present day consumption is 3,000 gallons, so we will have a 3-day storage, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, the project, which costs $201,000, $530, has been approved by the DNTF, Mr. Speaker, and WASCO has been mandated to commence works immediately, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure, Mr. Speaker, my people of Anser Valley will be very happy to hear the good news. Mr. Speaker, other areas where the water service has been extended are at Compline in Montezo, at St. Lawrence, and also in Ansari Village, Mr. Speaker. There were areas in the village in Ansari where there was no main lines, no service lines, and so those lines have been installed, Mr. Speaker. Also, Mr. Speaker, in Ansari, the reservoir has been renovated and refurbished, and the asbestos covering, asbestos roof, was also replaced, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what is happening now is that WASCO is now in the process of installing a new filtration system which will alleviate the problems that we experienced last year, Mr. Speaker. But however, Mr. Speaker, we recognize all cannot be done at once. And that's the reason why, Mr. Speaker, I said that I categorize our objectives into short-term, medium-term, and long-term objectives, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the entire water system in Ansari needs overhauling, Mr. Speaker. We need to replace the tanks, we need to put in a new filter system, and we need to relocate the intake, Mr. Speaker. And I hope, Mr. Speaker, I hope that within the next term, within the next early in the next term, Mr. Speaker, that that my government and WASCO will address this problem, Mr. Speaker. WASCO have already informed us that the project costs about $3 million, Mr. Speaker. We know it's a very tidy sum, but Mr. Speaker, through the water sector reform project, Mr. Speaker, and also jointly with other agencies like BNTF and PRF, I'm certainly sure, Mr. Speaker, that this problem will soon come to an end, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the area of sports, Mr. Speaker, in the area of sports, our young people, Mr. Speaker, we were very fortunate, Mr. Speaker, very fortunate in our short to medium term to have 5 multi-purpose cups, Mr. Speaker. 5 multi-purpose cups at Canaries, at Anseray, Otago Heights, in Chapmel, and most recently, Mr. Speaker, at Vanna, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, all these cups are properly lit, Mr. Speaker, with the exception of one, which is at Otago Heights, which we hope will be done very shortly, Mr. Speaker, very shortly. We hope the cup at Otago Heights will be lit. Mr. Speaker, I'm also happy to report that the construction of the new community center for Chapmel Reservoir is near completion. Mr. Speaker, it is unfortunate, however, that works have been delayed on this project due to inadequate funding by the PRF, Mr. Speaker. But however, Mr. Speaker, I note a sum of $70,000 is made available in this budget to ensure the completion of the community center before the ending of this financial year, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, in addition, Mr. Speaker, a new bus shelter with funding provided by the Chinese, Mr. Speaker, a new bus shelter will be built in Chapmel at a very short distance away from the new community center, Mr. Speaker. So therefore, Mr. Speaker, the community of Chapmel will be renewed with a new community center and a new bus shelter, Mr. Speaker. With respect to the bus shelter, Mr. Speaker, we have already identified funding and I've already asked Caribbean Metals, Mr. Speaker, to prepare cost estimates and to prepare the design and the structure for us, Mr. Speaker. Also, Mr. Speaker, still in Chapmel, we remember, Mr. Speaker, how the government moved quickly to build a new school, Mr. Speaker, to replace the one that was burned down about 4 years before, Mr. Speaker. The Chapmel school, Mr. Speaker, was burned down and the school children were housed in the old community center, Mr. Speaker. The old community center where the environment inside there, right, was not conducive to learning. It was just as hot as an oven, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, when the Ministry of Education visited the school, right, his heart was moved with compassion. His heart was moved with compassion, Mr. Speaker, and he immediately ordered that a new school be built, Mr. Speaker. And I want to thank the Minister of Education, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, not only that, Mr. Speaker, not only that, but the daycare center in Chapmel was also refurbished with assistance from the BNTF, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, the community of Chapmel has been renewed, Mr. Speaker. Everything is new in Chapmel. Everything is new in Chapmel, Mr. Speaker. We have a new school. We have a new community center. We have a new bus shelter, Mr. Speaker. And we have a new daycare center, Mr. Speaker, in Chapmel, Mr. Speaker. What about right, Mr. Speaker? What about right, Mr. Speaker? The entire community of Chapmel, right? The entire Roseau Valley was like a dark hole of Calcutta, Mr. Speaker. It was like a dark hole of Calcutta, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when you stand from the tourist outlook, Mr. Speaker, overlooking the Roseau community, right, Chapmel, Van and all these areas, Mr. Speaker, you will think, Mr. Speaker, that it is right, the dazzling light of Piccadilly, Mr. Speaker. No joke, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I need to thank the Ministry of Health, Mr. Speaker, for coming to the rescue of the Vanna Health Center, Mr. Speaker, which was very old and beyond repair, Mr. Speaker. We tried to do some repairs, Mr. Speaker, but then, Mr. Speaker, the building, right, has been dilapidated in such a condition that it was beyond repair, Mr. Speaker. So I want to thank the Ministry of Health for coming to our rescue, Mr. Speaker. The Ministry of Health who made it possible for the health center to be relocated and comfortably accommodated at the Territorial Community Center, Mr. Speaker. They use their own funds, Mr. Speaker, to repair the community center at Territorial, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, meanwhile, what is happening meanwhile, Mr. Speaker, is that the BNTF, the Ministry of Health, Mr. Speaker, has approached the BNTF, and the BNTF has approved a sum of $800,000 for the construction of the new health center at Vanna, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the BNTF is now identifying a suitable contractor to commence work as soon as possible, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, just a while ago, I called the BNTF and they gave me the assurance that work will be commencing within, very shortly work will commence, and we hope that work will be completed before the end of this year, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, things are happening. Mr. Speaker, things are happening. We are no longer Siberia, Mr. Speaker. No longer Siberia. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the area of roadworks, Mr. Speaker, there is a lot to be proud of, Mr. Speaker. A lot to be proud of. Mr. Speaker, the road rehabilitation works from Sarawak to Vanna is now completed at a cost of $220,000. Mr. Speaker, and the reconstruction of the road from Vanna to the Kaiko Junction, Mr. Speaker, at a cost of $1.5 million is about 60% completed, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I am however a bit disappointed with the slow pace of works on the following roads. The answer to Venus Road, the Venus to the Tetchime Road, the Cambridge Valley Road, and the Belvedere to Ask La Liberté camping site, Mr. Speaker. But however, Mr. Speaker, the contractors have had discussions with the contractors and they have assured me that works on these roads will be expedited for completion before the ending of the year, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have taken a lot of blame, Mr. Speaker, and the extension of government as well for these roads, but I want to let the public know, Mr. Speaker, that we've done what we were supposed to do, Mr. Speaker. About 2 years ago, contracts were awarded, Mr. Speaker. Contracts were awarded, but however, because of unforeseen circumstances, because of inclement weather and so forth, we experienced a little delay. But, Mr. Speaker, however, works have been expedited and those roads will be completed by the end of May or June, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, the flood mitigation project, in Anseri is really and truly a milestone of achievements in Anseri, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the project is now in its final stages of completion and it will bring relief to the people of Anseri, Mr. Speaker, who could not sleep comfortably whenever it rained, Mr. Speaker. Whenever it rained, the people could not sleep comfortably. However, Mr. Speaker, this problem is now a thing of the past, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is a performance of a government that is concerned, Mr. Speaker, about the safety, Mr. Speaker, safety and well-being of people, Mr. Speaker. This is a government of the people, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, one final achievement I wish to mention is the construction of a secondary school, Mr. Speaker. Thanks to my honorable colleague here for giving me the site. give me a site free of charge, Mr. Speaker, to build my secondary school, Mr. Speaker. A site free of charge to build my secondary school. Thanks, colleague. But Mr. Speaker, this school has been built primarily with the children of Ansari countries in mind, Mr. Speaker. Primarily with the children of Ansari countries in mind, Mr. Speaker. Children from Rosso, Jackmel, Nilek, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we are now grateful that everyone, Mr. Speaker, everyone, Mr. Speaker, every child, every boy, every girl, will now have the opportunity to receive a secondary school education, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is of utmost significance to us, since about half of our students, Mr. Speaker, half of our students up to last year, Mr. Speaker, common entrance, half, Mr. Speaker, either could not get a place at a secondary school or failed the exam, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, what will happen starting from this year, Mr. Speaker? What will happen from this year, Mr. Speaker, is that everybody, Mr. Speaker, will get a place at a secondary school, Mr. Speaker. Will get a place at a secondary school, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, they will always forget, colleagues, they will always forget. Why? It's because they're old. It's because they're senile. They will always forget, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, we need to open our eyes and see. Let's open our eyes, Mr. Speaker. If we have wooden glasses, let's take out the wooden glasses. Or let us go to Cuba, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are people who are going around distributing wooden glasses for the people of their constituency not to see the achievements that are in their constituency, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Speaker, that is a very significant achievement to us because, Mr. Speaker, it was heart-rending. Whereby parents had to pay for the children to achieve a secondary school. Children to go as far as Babano. As far as Babano, Mr. Speaker. One parent was told that the only school you can get is Ajay. Either take it or leave it, Mr. Speaker. And that's the reason why this government moves so quickly, Mr. Speaker. Moves so swiftly to ensure that there is universal secondary education for all of us. Mr. Speaker, in the interest of time, Mr. Speaker, in the interest of time, I will just briefly mention some of the other noteworthy achievements, Mr. Speaker. I will briefly mention some of the other noteworthy achievements, such as, Mr. Speaker, the construction of a new police station in Ansari. Construction of a new police station.
Order, honourable members.
There is renovation and refurbishment of a police station in Canaries. The refurbishment of public facilities with the addition of toilets at Asaveri and Belvedere. The erection of new bus shelters and public telephone booths.
Here we are. Order in the honourable house, please. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The erection of new bus shelters and public phone booths at Asaveri and Belvedere. The construction of a new jetty in Canaries. Provision of 2 30-seater buses for the transportation of school children from Canaries to Soufre. The renovation of the public facility in Ansari with assistance from the DNTF. Renovation of houses in Rosso, houses for the elderly. Reduction in the cost of house lots at Otago from $3 to $1 per square foot. Acquisition of land in Ansari for the establishment of the HRDC. The school assistance program and the textbook rental scheme from which we have benefited immensely. The street lighting program, especially on the highway from Rosso to Belvedere. The repairing of homes for the elderly. The construction of the Durando Hill Road and the construction of the Company Road in Montsiso. Mr. Speaker, while these short and medium term objectives are commendable and appreciated, There should be no room for complacency until the long-term objectives are realized. Mr. Speaker, I will not step down, neither will I run up or run away from the tasks and challenges from the tasks and challenges in the next 5 years ahead. I will never step down, neither will I retire, Mr. Speaker, unless those objectives have been achieved. Yes, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I mean, I'm very happy for the run-up, Mr. Speaker. And because that proved, it proved, Mr. Speaker, it proved, Mr. Speaker, that I am the man for the task and challenge.
Honourable Member for Stuart Harris, please confine your observations to the subject under discussion. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because, Mr. Speaker, to do so would be a betrayal of the people's trust in me. Mr. Speaker, my biggest concern for my next term is the problem of housing and unemployment. That's my biggest concern, Mr. Speaker, is my housing and unemployment, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the area of housing, I am very delighted, Mr. Speaker, that provision is being made to address the housing situation in the Castries Basin, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister has said this is just a starting, Mr. Speaker. It is just a start. So I'm very, very happy that provision is made to address the housing situation in the Castries Basin, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would be very delighted if such an initiative can be emulated in the areas of Anstruther and Canvey, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, cognizant of the fact that like countries, Anstruther and Canvey do have an acute housing problem, Mr. Speaker, which will require attention in the short run at the highest level, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, it might be necessary to consider a similar program like the PROUD, get strictly for Anstruther and Canvey, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are no government lands around, just like the Castries Basin. We have no government lands around. And Mr. Speaker, the limited private lands available are sold at exorbitant prices, Mr. Speaker. Very exorbitant prices, Mr. Speaker. Hence the reason why, Mr. Speaker, I am saying that I would be more than delighted if Anstruther Canneries can be considered for such a program, Mr. Speaker. And as I said, Mr. Speaker, I'm very happy that the start is being made in the Castries Basin. I welcome this initiative, Mr. Speaker, but I'm only saying that I hope Anstruther Canneries will be considered in the next phase, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm just saying from very early, I'm telling the Minister of Finance that there are certain lands, Mr. Speaker, there are certain lands that were already identified for this purpose, for the purpose of a program in Anstruther Canneries, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, I always remember the ex-Minister of Physical Planning, my colleague from Sufre. I will always remember him, Mr. Speaker, because at the time when he was Minister of Physical Planning, he was very, very active behind, and also my minister, and the present Minister of Physical Planning, right, very active behind a housing program for the rural areas, Mr. Speaker. And I believe, Mr. Speaker, in our next term, Mr. Speaker, that matter will be addressed, Mr. Speaker. But, Mr. Speaker, I'm saying from very early that there are lands around that could be acquired for such a program, Mr. Speaker. There are certain lands that have been identified, such as the Wallace Chassé lands, Mr. Speaker, discussions were already held with the owners, and they are quite willing to sell, Mr. Speaker. That's a very good idea. Mr. Speaker, there also have lands that belong to the National Trust Mr. Speaker. Sometimes I wonder, Mr. Speaker, because these are hundreds and hundreds of acres of land, Mr. Speaker. Just the idling, Mr. Speaker. In this way, I personally feel that that one could be put into better use, Mr. Speaker. While we are people, young people of countries, and I'm sorry, they are there, Mr. Speaker, and this will have been left languishing, Mr. Speaker, cannot get somewhere, a spot to build a house, and there's so much land that is, I think it's been left idle, Mr. Speaker. We think that is land, Mr. Speaker, that could be acquired for housing, Mr. Speaker. And there is also land at Opos in Anseret, land that is presently in dispute. And Mr. Speaker, I can tell you, if we do not make an intervention there, I can tell you that there will be bloodshed there. There will be bloodshed between the different parties that are in dispute for that land. So I also think, Mr. Speaker, that some approaches should be made for the acquisition of that land to develop, for housing to develop into a broad program, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I now go on to unemployment, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister addresses some of the permanent issues dealing with unemployment, Mr. Speaker, which is due to a lack of proper training. Unemployment, Mr. Speaker, is a very critical problem, Mr. Speaker, and we recognize the fact that it is due to lack of training. And here's the reason why, Mr. Speaker, why I wholeheartedly welcome the initiative taken by the Prime Minister on skills training, which will be managed by the NSDC, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I will certainly advise more people from Anseret Canneries to make good use of this initiative, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I note that the Prime Minister has advised, the NSDC to target communities where unemployment is particularly high, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, I would hope that Anseret Canneries would come first in this taking order, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, on page 33, in the Prime Minister's budget address, he said, Mr. Speaker, that priority should be given to communities with high unemployment, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I am certainly sure that when the Prime Minister made that statement, he had Anseret and Canneries in mind, Mr. Speaker. He had those communities in mind, Mr. Speaker. Because, Mr. Speaker, we all know that poverty, the level of poverty that exists in Anseret Canneries, especially in Canneries, Mr. Speaker. Because, Mr. Speaker, we have the reports from the World Bank as well as the CDB, Mr. Speaker. The reports show us that Anseret Canneries is so poor that it is below the poverty line, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, I hope that whoever is responsible at NSDC will take note and will follow the directive given by the Prime Minister. In addition, Mr. Speaker, I will make it my business to foster an entrepreneurship culture, Mr. Speaker, so that better use can be made of the different programs that are available, such as the Bell Fund, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, this budget, Mr. Speaker, is a people's budget. It's a people's budget, Mr. Speaker. That's why I said in my opening statement that it's not a budget for the few, but it's a budget for the many, Mr. Speaker. It's a budget for all, Mr. Speaker. When you think of $2 million, Mr. Speaker, being allocated to NSDC for skills training, Mr. Speaker. And that is not all, Mr. Speaker. $520,000 for a youth apprenticeship program, Mr. Speaker, for the on-the-job training, Mr. Speaker. And that is not all, Mr. Speaker. Another $250,000 by the NEC to Mr. Speaker, to enable people to start up small businesses, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what do you want again, Mr. Speaker? And you will tell me that this is not a government of support, Mr. Speaker. You will tell me that this government is not doing anything to help the young people of this country, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I do understand, Mr. Speaker, that the unemployment problem is extremely difficult to solve, Mr. Speaker. It is difficult to solve, but Mr. Speaker, I believe with these initiatives taken by the Prime Minister, And I believe with a concerted effort, Mr. Speaker, we can get there, Mr. Speaker. The problem can be alleviated, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, the construction of a new jetty and a fish landing facility is also under consideration for joint funding, Mr. Speaker, by the government of Japan and the government of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. I will ensure that early in the next term, that is the reason that I must be there. That is the reason that I will be there to ensure that this project becomes a reality, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, a team of Japanese consultants have just completed a preliminary study and are now doing preparatory works, Mr. Speaker, for the commencement of construction, Mr. Speaker, of this facility, including the jetty, early next year, Mr. Speaker. Early next year, we will see the commencement, right, of this facility, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, this project will include the following components: a jetty construction, which will be 50 meters long and 5 meters wide. 2, a slipway construction for boat hauling. 3, shore protection works. 4, fishing gear lockers. 5, fish processing complex for ice making and storage and refrigeration plant. 6, renewal or refurbishing of existing vendors' arcade. 7, construction of a small building to house cooperative retail shop and a fisherman training room. And 8, other incidental exterior works such as site premise pavement, fencing and lighting, car parking lot, drainage, and jetty accessories such as fenders, bollards, and supply pipes, and outlets for oil, fuel, and water. Mr. Speaker, there are some community roads that are in need of urgent attention. I hope that these roads will receive attention with the $5 million allocation for community infrastructure. These roads, Mr. Speaker, include the St. Lawrence Road, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as I said, the St. Lawrence Road, I have encountered some disappointments with that road, Mr. Speaker, because the road was part of the tertiary roads program, but again, because of unforeseen circumstances, because of factors beyond our control, inevitably the road had to be dropped out. But Mr. Speaker, however, all is not lost, because I firmly believe that I will get some assistance on the St. Lawrence Road. Also, other roads, Mr. Speaker, that are in need of attention are the Kaiko Road, the Montezo Road, the Blackstone Road, the Boardman Road, and the Jackman Road, Mr. Speaker. Finally, I will finish on time, Mr. Speaker. I will finish on time. Don't panic. Finally, Mr. Speaker, proposals have been submitted to the Japanese Grassroots Program for the funding of the following projects: a multi-purpose center at Tetsume, a mini stand and changing room on the Jackman playing field, and a mini fisheries complex in Canada, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, proposals have been submitted to the Japanese Grassroots Program, and we are waiting to get a favorable response from the Japanese, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, the work has begun, a lot of work has been done, and the work will continue, Mr. Speaker. And as I said, I am sure I will be there to ensure that work continues, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there is a lot more to be achieved, and hence the reason why, Mr. Speaker, the people of ancillary countries will give me the overwhelming mandate. They will give me the overwhelming mandate to continue serving them when the time comes, Mr. Speaker. Yes, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, to end, I want to say that I fully support this budget, Mr. Speaker. I fully support this budget. I thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. I thank ministers and my other parliamentary secretaries. I thank the PS and the staff of the Ministry of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, for their cooperation and support. I thank the people of St. Lucia, I thank all fellow St. Lucians, and above all, Mr. Speaker, I thank my dearly beloved people of Ancillary Canaries constituency for their patience, endurance, and understanding, and the opportunity to continue serving them, Mr. Speaker. And last, but most important, I thank the Almighty God. Thank you very much.